It's time for Inside Churchill Downs. Now, here are your hosts, John Asher, Darren Rogers, and Kevin Kirstein.
Well, good Friday afternoon. Darren Rogers here. Kevin Kirstein's here.
John Asher is not here. That's why we don't have a creative opening. Like
we do not have a creative opening. It is Inside Churchill Downs, two-thirds of the Inside Churchill Downs team is here. I was out last week, enjoyed a week of baseball with my son up in Indianapolis. John, he's on assignment.
He's on assignment, as we called it last week.
Music reviews at Forecastle.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. No, John is headed to Forecastle, and he'll hopefully join us again next weekend. But we've got hour of horse racing to talk about. Big weekend on tap, especially up Indiana Grand. We're going to talk with trainer Dallas Stewart. He has a couple of horses entered in stakes races, in particular coming off the layoff, Seeking the Soul. And then he's got a long shot in the Indiana Derby.
Never leave Dallas Stewart off with a long shot with Give Me a Minute in the Indiana Derby. We know what he does with long shots, especially in big races. And Dallas has had some luck joining us on our program before big days of racing. So hopefully the luck keeps on rolling for him.
And then we'll also visit with veteran racing analyst and noted historian John White, also the morning line odds maker out at Santa Anita, but wanted to get his take on the big news of the week, which came Tuesday, that undefeated Triple Crown winner Justify, he is being evaluated and will receive some time off at the moment after some filling in his left front ankle was discovered. Do you think we're going to see him again, KK?
You know, no, I don't. I think if we were setting morning line odds for this, I think we're about 1 to 2 morning line odds that we probably won't see him again. Personally, of course I want to see him again. I know you want to see him again, mm-hmm. Race, but I mean, when you talk about filling in an ankle, for those of you who don't really understand what this is, it's a normal occurrence for racehorses, you know, to have just some minor, it's almost like cartilage in your knee or something like that, to that effect in humans.
Yeah, but almost, it's not quite an ankle sprain, but no. it's some swelling. Much like you would have from a sprained ankle or something.
Something to that effect, yeah. And really not even that serious. But when you're talking about a horse who's worth $75 million, you know, you're going to take every precaution around him to make sure that he's fit and okay and ready to go if he were to make the races again, just because he's so valuable in the breeding shed. So for that reason itself, I don't think we'll see him again. I think we all want to see him race again, but when you have a horse that's worth that much money, they're going to take every precaution necessary.
Yeah, I believe it was this quote from Elliot Walden in a Windstar Farm news release where he said, to go from a maiden winner in February to an undefeated Triple Crown winner in June has been an incredible ride. He's too special to the owners, our team, and all the fans he has around the world to not be 100% healthy. As far as any future plans for him, they will be decided after we get him checked out. He is an amazing horse, and we are blessed by his presence. Boy, that sounded like a walk-off speech to me, didn't it?
It certainly
scares
does.
Me.
Yeah, and, you know.
But maybe not. You remember, right after the Belmont Stakes, Bob Baffert did say he'd have a two-race campaign. Mm-hmm. He thought he'd have a two-race campaign, one of which would be the Breeders' Cup Classic.
In 111 days at Churchill Downs.
That's correct. That is correct. It's in 100. Is it 111 days?
111 or 112.
Yeah, it's right around there.
Depending on what hour of the night it is.
Oh, boy, it's getting closer.
Yeah.
Getting closer. But Justify, I thought with, you know, I know Baffert weighed him the other day. He weighed 1,271 pounds. That's more weight than he carried coming into Churchill Downs before the Kentucky Derby. So he's got the weight on him. He had been galloping one day, walking the next. Things just didn't seem right, so they're evaluating him. Who knows? Maybe we'll get the two-race campaign. Maybe this evaluation is just to squash everything regarding the Haskell and the Travers. I don't know. I'm trying to be an eternal optimist. But we'll talk to John White a little later in the show, get his thoughts on where he thinks Justify ranks. Because I heard some, I heard some commentary this week on social media that it's hard to, you know, some people were saying it's hard to call a horse great when you only have six races under your belt. Can you put a horse that only raced 4 months in the Hall of Fame? I'm sorry. I don't understand that. I can't believe. Did people already forget what they saw in the last 4 months?
It's unbelievable. I think it's people are using Twitter as an outlet to try and make their opinion known when they have a bad opinion.
Well, these were opinions from some folks that, you know, within the industry that I respect.
And it's crazy to think that, you know, people are saying this stuff because, I mean,
I don't know.
He broke his mane in February and he won the Triple Crown, people. I mean, come on. Arguably, yeah, probably on speed figures. If you're looking at past performances on paper, he probably needed to improve if he wanted to take on some of the older horses. But guess what? He's still a great horse and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. 100% agree. Other news of the week. Today, big day for Corey Lannery. Good to see him back in the winner's circle. He won at least two races today. I know he won the fourth race with Hide the Honey and then came back and won the fifth on Sony for trainer Bernie Flint. Good to see Corey Lannery back in the winner's circles. Just returned to riding last weekend following the June 22nd death of his wife, Chantel. So Corey trying to get back on track. I know he's back up here to stay now after visiting family in Louisiana. So our thoughts go out to him. Also, condolences we offer to Frank Jones, one of the winningest owners in Churchill Downs history. You see him at the track on a regular basis. He's a veteran member of the Kentucky HBPA. His wife, Gloria Faye Jones, passed away earlier this week at the age of 79. So our condolences go out to Frank. Ellis Park for sale.
Yeah.
Did you see this note from the pressboxlts.com? Gene McLean.
It's interesting.
Gene McLean reported late last night, and I don't know if it's been picked up by any other outlets yet, but Gene was a veteran sports writer and columnist for the Lexington Herald Leader. I think he started in the late 70s and was an award-winning writer here in Kentucky and moved on to other careers. And now he's enjoying doing what he does, and that's following and journaling about the sport of horse racing. He has a website out there if you're not familiar with it. It is The Press Box LTS. The LTS stands for the Louisville Thoroughbred Society, but thepressboxlts.com. And according to Gene McLean, he has multiple sources on the record close to the situation that Ellis Park may be in the process of being sold to another owner and that the final documents could be finalized in the very near future. The possible owner or owners is reportedly from out of state. Of course, they'd have to be approved by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission. It's not known at this time who the potential ownership team is, but that the transfer of the license and other properties and the operation at Ellis, et cetera, it could be imminent. And if the final negotiations are concluded between the parties, it could happen real soon. So very, very interesting development down there in Henderson, Kentucky. Ron Geary, of course, owns the track right now, and we'll see what happens.
Here's the deal. If, you know, regardless if it's sold or not sold, just so they keep the Ellis relish there for their hot dogs. That's all I
right?
care about. I mean,
you know, the Ellis relish.
That's what matters here. I know it's, you know, a multi-million dollar business, but guess what? The Ellis relish is the key down there.
Did you see the news? Kentucky Oaks and Acorn winner Monomoy Girl could be facing Mother Goose runaway winner Midnight Bazoo in the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks at Saratoga. Del Mar and Saratoga are on the verge of opening. Del Mar opens on Wednesday. Saratoga opens a week from today on Friday, July 20th. That Coaching Club matchup would happen on their opening weekend a week from Sunday. That is an enticing showdown.
Oh, unbelievable. I hope this happens. I think Monomoy Girl is scheduled to breeze tomorrow morning at Churchill Downs at 7:30. I mean, talk about a matchup for opening weekend at Saratoga. I mean, two arguably the best fillies in the country going head-to-head, and could decide the three-year-old filly race ultimately.
It's that time of year. Love the second half of the season as we march towards the Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs, November 2nd and 3rd. Another horse with the Breeders' Cup on the horizon, possibly. Thundersnow.
How about that?
How about Thundersnow? The now, we all know Thundersnow from his antics at the Kentucky Derby.
He didn't make the cup, though.
No, he did not make the cup. He did not make the plastic cup as the last place finisher because he did not finish. He was a bucking bronco coming out of the starting gate, but you might recall that he came back and he romped in the Dubai World Cup earlier this year. He's going to run August the 12th in the Prix Jacques Lamoureux. I butcher the French language. I'm telling you in advance, but he'll be running at Deauville, the Grade One race. That's on turf, but that's a prep for a stateside visit in the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Belmont Park on September the 29th, and they want to try the Breeders' Cup Classic. So that's exciting to see. That's one of the things we're going to talk with John White about. Mm-hmm. Who are the older horses that, if Justify were to come back, and it's a big if now, but who are the top? What's the top competition among the older horse division?
I mean, yeah, it has to be wide open, and Thundersnow and some of the international intrigue could be right up there with some of the top older horses from stateside. So very interesting leading up to this Breeders' Cup Classic.
And finally, a big weekend in Lexington.
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on in Lexington? At the Kentucky Horse Park.
I'm aware on my Twitter of what's going on.
Brass Hat will be honored at this weekend's Briarfest celebration. And he'll make an appearance in the show ring under Buff Bradley's assistant, Maria.
Will you be there?
I'll be in Lawrenceburg.
So you're close.
Hold on. Yeah, my son has a baseball tournament in Lawrenceburg. I could make a cameo, but who else is being honored down there? The recent Briar...
Harley.
Yes.
Harley, who's an outrider pony at Churchill, who... fan favorite from many people at the track, and being honored at Briarfest. Unfortunately, inside Churchill Downs team will not be there, but wish them all a fun weekend down there.
Yeah, it will be a fun weekend. We always like hearing updates on Brass Hat. Buff Bradley's had us on we've had him on the show a number of times. He's told us about the horse shows he's competed in. But anyway, if you're a big Brass Hat fan, go see him down at the Kentucky Horse Park in the walking ring or show ring this weekend. Big weekend on tap at Indiana Grand starting tomorrow night, 5:30, 10 races on tap. I believe they have six stakes races. The big one, of course, is the Grade 3 $500,000 Indiana Derby. And one of the participants trying to get back on track in this affair, of course, we've got the morning line favorite is King Zachary for Dale Romans, big winner of the Matt Wynn. Axelrod's in there. But one of our old favorites, Give Me a Minute, and his trainer, Dallas Stewart. He'll be a big price at 20-1 on the line. We're going to see if Dallas can talk us into getting Give Me a Minute back on track. Big D, how are you, pal?
Very good, very good. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And we're also going to talk, really want to talk a lot about Seeking the Soul, making his comeback. But
sure.
let's start with Give Me a Minute. Where has he left you scratching your head, or is this just a kind of a start back with the company that, you know, maybe this is more of his type, his class.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, it's kind of like this, Darren. He's a really nice horse. He ran real hard in the Pat Day Mile. It was muddy that day. He was third, and I thought he ran terrific. You know, he ran great. And then we go to the next race, which is the Woody Stevens, and he got hung up in the gate where he was moving around, and the starter tried to readjust him, and it just didn't work out, and he was left 18 lengths in the back. Mm-hmm. And then he was running on. If you look at his line there, he got beat about 5 lengths. So it was a terrific race. I mean, the horse has a lot of heart, and he's always trying to win. So, you know, this is a big purse, $500,000 on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's an overly tough group for him, but there's some nice horses. He's going to have to really run his race. He's going to have to get out of the gates in good shape. And he's going to have to be placed well and, you know, fire up a good one. So, big purse. It's worth taking a shot. I think he fits with the group, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, King Zachary is the hot 6-5 morning line favorite. And, you know,
he should be.
He won a Derby Day allowance in the slop, and then jump forward with a big, big victory in the Matt Wynn that was pretty comfortable. But give me a minute. I mean, you know, he's been always around there. You've always liked this Louisiana Brad. Tell us, you know, he's always just been a hard-knocking horse that you always felt was always going to be in the mix.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Murray Valline owns him, and he loves to compete in big races. He's a guy from Louisiana that has a number of horses at Churchill, and, you know, he loves the game. You know, he loves this horse, and he loves giving him a shot to win a big one. So the horse always trains good. If you look at his works are always solid.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a lot of back class. He was fourth in the Breeders' Cup. You know, he ran great at Saratoga. So, you know, we just continue to give him big shots, you know, just like Dale's horse, you know, they're giving him a big shot. He moved forward. I mean, that's all you can do with these horses.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So give him a shot to move forward for big money.
Earlier on in the card in race number 5, which is 7:24 Eastern time, is the Schaefer Memorial. And, bro, you got a horse, Seeking the Soul, who was very impressive last year in the Clark Handicap and brought him back to race in the Pegasus World Cup, ran fifth that day. And coming back off the layoff, tell me your thoughts on Seeking the Soul. Is he ready to go first off this long layoff?
Yeah, I think he's ready to go against this group. He got banged up a little bit in the Pegasus, so we gave him some time off. Actually, we took him to the fairground, jogged him a lot and galloped him a lot and freshened him up and then brought him back. And he's worked really good his last couple of works. He worked in 113. That's a great work at Churchill. He come back with a minute, followed it up with a 101, just solid works. And he's the type of horse that he likes to work hard and he loves to run. So I think he fits real well with this group. This would be his first race of the year. So hopefully we'll get him here and bigger and better things later on.
Yeah, and Dallas, with that breeding, bigger and better things seem to happen with age. I mean, you know, he's 5 years old now, but he's just hitting his peak, I would think, especially with that breeding.
Absolutely. He's a grandson of Personal Engine. You know, he's by Chuck Sire.
Perfect Soul.
And, Perfect Soul. He's got a lot of, you know, he's got Secretariat in there. He's just got, he's loaded with great pedigree. And he's just a real neat horse. He's a very competitive horse. He's a very, just a very competitive horse and loves to run. So we're hoping that he'll come back with those races as the Clark, as he ran in, and getting back to that peak performance later on in the year, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, you say he loves to run. I remember the campaign you had a year ago, the championship campaign with Forever Unbridled, and you like to space the races out with her. Is this the launching pad of a series of races you're seeing for Seeking the Soul in advance of, you know, trying to get to the Breeders' Cup Classic, which wouldn't hurt to walk right out of your barn over a home track?
That would be the golden ticket if we could do that. You know, like I said, he had a little bit of an injury, not bad, but it just took some time. And this is where we're at right here. If we can get this race in him, and then maybe the Woodward at the end, you know, in September, the Lucas Classic, and then bring him back for the Breeders' Cup. You know, it's not going to be easy because there's a lot of nice horses running. So, but he loves to train. He puts those works out there for you. He shows you when he's ready. So, if we can get a good race tomorrow night and then come back and follow it up with another good one, then we should be on our way.
How difficult was it for you to say goodbye to Forever Unbridled after the Dubai World Cup? Was it a little bit of a surprise to you?
No, I mean, that's what he wanted to do. He's a breeder, you know. He didn't make any bones about it. He wanted to breed her, and I'm just very happy to see her go. She's with her mother. She's with her full sister. So
what a family.
Yeah, what a family. You know, very blessed to be able to hopefully continue to be a part of that. So she was great for us. Like you said, she had three races. It was a championship run, and she got it done. She was that good.
You mentioned the Woodward as a possibility with Seeking the Soul, and seeing a lot of good two-year-olds out of your barn here training in the mornings at Churchill. Are you sending a string up to Saratoga, or are you going to split between here and Ellis? What are your plans for the summer?
Yeah, we are going to take some horses up to Saratoga. I'm just going to take maybe one two-year-old up there. We're up to like some half miles out of the gate and stuff, so I'm thinking I'm going to wait till September. I love the September meet. October and November. I love that rotation there. And then, you know, ready to roll at the fairgrounds. So, you know, as far as shipping to Alice and stuff, I probably won't do that with any two-year-olds. But Saratoga's kind of hard on them sometimes. But, you know, I feel very comfortable about them being there at Churchill and getting ready. I just feel like the more miles I can give them at Churchill, if they're good horses, it's going to be great for them.
Yeah, but I also know you wouldn't send a horse to Saratoga if you didn't think he was a little live. What's the breeding on this 2 year old you're sending up there?
He's a Spikestown. Miss Benson owns him. GMB Racing.
Oh, great.
And he's been the most forward. So he looks like he's okay. His name's Milton Town.
Okay, Milton Town. And GMB is still rocking and rolling, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mrs. Benson's doing very well, and we're all encouraged about how much she loves the game, and she loves her horses, and she loves animals, and it's just a blessing to have her. You know, Mr. Benson was so nice to us about, you know, getting into the business and being wanting to go full forward, and she's the same way. You know, so far as I can see, it's just a great thing.
Well, Big D, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for the moment, and you know, good luck tomorrow with the immediate future. And then our friends out there listening, the two or three, they've written down Milton Town to keep an eye on for Saratoga. So anyway, thank you.
You should. I mean, he might not be as fast as, you know, some of these
Chad really Browns and Pletchers.
You know, we might knock one out of the park paying $20, $25.
That's fine by us.
We've
been known to do that.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that horse. Yeah.
All right,
Big D. Thank you, pal.
Thank you.
All right, that's trainer Dallas Stewart. Of course, he has Give Me a Minute in the Indiana Derby, and then Seeking the Soul coming off the bench in the Michael Schaefer Memorial. And Seeking the Soul, you know, big hot favorite in there at 3-5, kind of, you know, towers over the field looking at Lee's in here, Pioneer Spirit, Guest Suite, CM Riep for Ben Colebrook. I mean, it's all a good spot to come back.
Yeah, they're all okay older horses, but they're not Clark Handicap winners, that's for sure.
No, it'll be nice to see this horse back in action because I think Seeking the Soul has got a promising second half of the year. Well, we promised you that we would be discussing Justify a little bit. And of course, if you tuned in too late, you're listening to Inside Churchill Downs. I'm Darren Rogers. Kevin Kirstein's here. John is on assignment. John Asher is at Forecastle at a music festival. But I know somebody else who's taking time away from a music festival out in Southern California, our veteran racing analyst and historian. And he's also the morning line oddmaker at Santa Anita, John White. So paint the picture where you are at the moment.
Right now, we're sitting outside the Reagan Library as we're getting ready to go in later to a concert that they'll have tonight and a dinner. And the concert will be bands that will be playing Beatles music and then also Rolling Stones music.
But it's a symphony, right?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. It's okay.
Rock
got it.
Music.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, you can't go wrong with the Stones and the Beatles. Yeah. So. That's fabulous.
Well, my wife likes that music, and it's her birthday, so that's her birthday present.
Well, I love the fact that you take time out to speak with us and talk a little bit about Justify. And boy, I was jarred by the news on Tuesday, to be perfectly honest with you. And maybe I was naive and a little more surprised than most, but I really thought this horse had a heck of a chance to run the remainder of the year, but now it looks more and more in doubt with this filling in the left front ankle, and they're taking time to evaluate him. And we read the Elliott Walden quote earlier, and it sounded like a walk-off speech to me. What is your opinion on the status of Justify?
Well, like you, I was somewhat taken aback by it, but not totally. Mm-hmm. I was just out there a couple of weeks ago and got my picture taken with him with my hand on his blaze. And at that time, it was all systems go. They were very happy with him, and he was training, and his weight was good. And at that particular point, it looked like he would be running again this year. But then this at that particular time, they were indicating that he should be having a workout in a few days. Mm-hmm. And as the days passed, that reporter background in me, back when I was a reporter for the Racing Forum, or when I worked with you, Darren, in media relations at Lone Star, mm-hmm. you get those signals when they say, you know, he should have a workout in maybe 3-4 days, and you get to day 5, day 6, day 7, day 8, day 9, no workout. At that point, I was very suspicious, and I thought there might well be something up. So once we got to that point, I wasn't totally surprised when we got the news. And at this point, considering his value, and, you know, really, it would help his standing among the all-time greats if he could do what American Pharoah did. That is defeat older horses in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, considering he's undefeated, there's so much risk and so much to lose. There's so much downside with really not that much upside mm-hmm. as far as the connections are concerned. His stud value is set. And so I'll be surprised if we see him race again.
Yeah, and if we you know, flash back 3 years ago with American Pharoah, you know, they never make these stud fees or contracts with the farms public, but you hear, you know, reliable scuttlebutt that the way the American Pharoah deal was structured, you know, Ahmed Zayat had the racing rights for the remainder of the year, and there were a number of kickers in there with bonuses for, you know, winning X number of grade one races, or if he won the Travers or in the Breeders' Cup Classic, you won extra more millions. That was more of an incentive for a guy like Ahmed Zayat. That might not be the case with the structure of the deal, the cool, there apparently is no deal, quote unquote, but we know that there's a deal. There's nothing been published, but anyway, that might also be the case. I don't know. Where do you think, you know, you mentioned he has, you know, clearly he has not raced against older horses and may not get that opportunity. Where would that put him on the overall grand scheme of things for you? I mean, the reason I asked this question earlier this week, I can't tell you how many either tweets from racing industry journalists or, you know, just some other, even blog posts, etc., that question the greatness. I can't consider Justify to be great if he's only raced 4 months, or I can't call him great if he's only had 6 starts. I can't put him in the Hall of Fame if he's never beaten older horses. Blah, 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 blah. I can't believe it. Did people already forget what this horse accomplished in a short period of time? That was an amazing feat. And to me, you know, I put him right there with American Pharoah. But that's why I have you on the show, because I know your historical perspective. Where does Justify rank for you?
Well, it is tricky from the standpoint of if he doesn't race anymore and the older horses, really that is going to hurt him in terms of his standing among the all-time greats. On the other hand, Darren, I think you are hitting the nail on the head in terms of what this colt accomplished. And I think as we go further down the road, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, look back on what this colt accomplished in that period of time to run his first race in February and end up as an undefeated Triple Crown winner and the only Triple Crown winner who didn't race as a two-year-old. And he did so many historical things, so many. What I tried to do, and I was already kind of wrestling with this issue because I was toying with the thought of maybe tackling this in my weekly ExpressBet.com column next week. And because the Blood Horse magazine came out with their list of the top 100 racehorses of the 20th century. And I have built off of that for several years and had my top 100 of the 20th and 21st centuries, expanding from what they had. Mm-hmm. With my own 100, and I updated that as recently as January 29th this year after Gunrunner's retirement, trying to decide where does Gunrunner fit. And 37 with California Chrome 36, Shared Belief 35.
Oh, did we lose John? Mike? Let's get him. Let's reconnect with him. Magic Mike running the board and doing all the magic on there. But John's getting ready to get to the point. He has done these lists.
Mm-hmm.
And California Chrome at, 36?
Yeah.
And Gunrunner at 35. I don't want to spoil it, but I'm pretty sure he has American Pharoah somewhere in the 15 range. But I think we've reconnected with John, and we'll get him to pick that back up. John, we lost you just right at the point when you were talking about California Chrome and Gunrunner. You had Gunrunner at number 35. Pick it up from there.
Yeah, Gunrunner 37, actually.
Or 37, my bad.
California Chrome 36, Shared Belief 35, and Arrogate 34.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Arrogate at one point I had ranked much higher than that. But then he had that last part of his career and his stock fell. I mean, it had mm-hmm. to fall.
Yep.
So I have American Pharoah at 15.
Yep.
I have Man of War at number one, followed by Secretariat, Citation, Kelso, Spectacular Bid, Native Dancer, Dr. Fager, Seattle Slough, Count Fleet, Affirmed, Ruffian, Swaps, Farlap, Forgo, and American Pharoah. Now, my gut instinct was to put Justify right there, but then when I looked at the horses I have right after American Pharoah, I really can't do it based on the fact he's only raced six times. So what I'm trying to do is kind of bridge the gap, kind of weigh mm-hmm. both sides. The fact of his brilliance, his record, his talent, his accomplishments, but then you have to weigh that against the fact that compared to the all-time greats, he's going to have such a light resume.
Yeah, the resume's the key, isn't it? When you
it really is.
Yeah.
Because, for instance, I really wouldn't want to put him ahead of, for instance, John Henry. For what, again, a horse who was Horse of the Year twice, but most importantly, as a 9-year-old, that's such a tremendous accomplishment, and that's that longevity. So, I mean, he deserves, I think, to be ranked better than Justify at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got all the way to Cigar, who I have at 29. I have Sunday Silence at 28, mm-hmm. Cigar at 29, and that's right where I felt at this point I would put Justify, mm-hmm. number 30, which mm-hmm. kind of has a nice feel to it since I have American Pharoah 15. Mm-hmm. Like I say, originally I would have put him closer to American Pharoah because I'm not convinced he isn't better than American
Pharoah. That's what that's what I was just going to ask you. Let me interrupt you real quick. So both horses at their peak, both horses entered in, let's just say, a 10-horse field. American Pharoah, Justify, you're going to put 100 to win on a horse. Which horse are you betting?
Boy,
I know.
Tell you what,
I'm giving you the 100. Hold on, I'm giving you the 100 to bet, so you don't have to part with it. It's a free bet.
Yeah. At this point, I think I would play American Pharoah, but it's very, very close and a tough call, and that's why I would like to put Justify closer to American Pharoah. But I think, no pun intended, pun intended, I think it justifies putting Justify at 30 because he's still ahead of such horses that I have on the list. I've got Bold Ruler 30, 31 now, Nashua, Ali Dar, he's ahead of Easy Goer. I'm putting him ahead of Arrogate, Shared Belief, California Chrome, Gunrunner. So it's not like I'm not giving him strong respect in his standing among the all-time greats. At number 30, when you talk about the top 30 racehorses to race in North America in the 20th and 21st centuries, number 30 isn't too bad.
No, it really isn't. You're listening to Inside Churchill Downs. We're speaking with veteran racing analyst and historian John White, Darren Rogers here along with Kevin Kirstein, and talking about Justify. I will share with you a story that Bob Baffert, the night that Justify paraded, this is in the winner's circle at Churchill Downs. And I don't know if Bob wants me to share this, but I'm just going to share it anyway. It's no harm, no foul. But he says to me, you know, Darren, everybody's been asking me, which one's better, American Pharoah or Justify? And he gave me the standard line of, you know, and I didn't ask him. He just volunteered this. And he gave the standard line of, that's like, you know, trying to choose between two children, you know, which one's your favorite? And, you know, he's often said that American Pharoah is his first love, etc. He paused, and then he did tell me this. He said, you know, if I was robbing a bank and two horses were tied to the hitching post just outside the bank, I know which one I'm getting on to escape, and he's pointing to Justify in the winner's circle. So
that is a great story. So, you know what is especially great is that you didn't ask him and that he volunteered that.
Yeah.
So if I put together a list of the top 100 horses to leave if I rob a bank, I'm definitely ranking Justify ahead of American Pharoah.
So now we're hitting the second half of the racing season as we march toward the November 2nd and 3rd Breeders' Cup, which returns to Churchill Downs this fall. Who are the top older horses that Justify might have faced? Is it a three-year-old? Is there another three-year-old that's going to step forward and potentially, you know, nobody's going to fill the gap because Justify is Justify. Mm-hmm. But I always felt the best horse in the barn actually the best horse that Justify might have had to compete with was probably West Coast, who's in the same barn. What are your thoughts on the older horse division and the rest of the three-year-old picture?
Well, once they suspended wagering at the Wynn Racebook in Las Vegas, right after this news broke on Justify, I think when you see wagering resume, you'll see West Coast become the favorite, most likely.
And what's he up to? Because I remember, John, I remember when Justify came off the van at Churchill Downs on Derby Week, and he was a picture to look at. I mean, you know, he's just, you know, we've all heard all about Justify and his looks, but West Coast, I think, followed him. West Coast was first, and I'm like, who is that? It is amazing how much that horse filled out from 3 to 4. He's a good-looking colt, but he returned back to California. Is he in light training? What have you heard? What are the plans for West Coast?
I just only today read at horseraceinsider.com that West Coast is just, Baffert was quoted as saying he has just returned to his barn.
Gotcha.
So, you know, but that's plenty of time for the classic. I mean, if he starts right now, which that's obviously what they're going to do. And like I say, so I think, I mean, taking Justify, if we say Justify is not going to run again, at this point, I think West Coast would be the horse considered to be the favorite for the Breeders' Cup Classic. That said, when you talked about a horse that Justify would have to beat from that same barn, don't forget about McKenzie.
Yeah.
I got a look at McKenzie when I went a couple of weeks ago to see Justify, and believe me, McKenzie looks really good, and he is in training. And Baffert, again at Horse Race Insider, said those two horses, West Coast and McKenzie, they should be able to run in the Classic. And believe me, as just in January, Baffert was thinking Triple Crown with McKenzie.
Yeah.
Which is interesting considering he got hurt, was supposed to run in the Santa Anita Derby, and
all the wind is taken out of the sail, and here comes Justify.
Exactly, who was supposed to go to the Arkansas Derby, but Baffert then was able to call the audible and run justify in the Sanity to Derby instead, which worked out great because he didn't have to ship him earlier than he wanted to. Before, you know, he shipped him right to Churchill for the Derby from San Anita and was able to win the Kentucky Derby. But the colt, so McKenzie's a colt, I think, that you really have to keep an eye out because, like I say, you know, I'm not going to say he's better than Justify. That would be ridiculous. But, boy, he's really good. I mean, there's a lot of talent there, and apparently he is really filled out just from, you know, earlier this year.
Well, that's good news.
A three-year-old, another three-year-old that I think merits tremendous respect is Good Magic. Because if it hadn't been for Justify, in my opinion, I think Good Magic might have been the one going for the Triple Crown in the Belmont. Hmm. And typically, unlike Justify, who closed the deal and won the Belmont, I kind of get the feeling Good Magic might have been the type of colt that would have won the first two legs and then maybe not won the Belmont like Justify. But Good Magic impressed me so much in the Kentucky Derby. He ran his heart out in that race. Mm-hmm. And then he was the one that went on the attack early on Justify in the Preakness. And that's the only reason he weakened late to finish fourth is because, you know, they went on the attack early. If you take Justify out, I think Good Magic, he wins the Kentucky Derby. He probably would have won the Preakness because the race would have set up differently. And he was the two-year-old Eclipse Award-winning male champion last year. So, I see him winning the Haskell. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a colt that without Justify would have been, you know, a Kentucky Derby Preakness and Haskell winner heading into the fall. So I think Good Magic is up there. I really liked Gronkowski a lot. I thought his race in the Belmont was huge, considering, you know, he had a clumsy start, was 14 lengths behind early, and uncorked that move, and he only got beat a length and three quarters. That was his first race on dirt. I mean, I think there's a lot of talent there, but my concern with him is they were planning to run him in the Jim Dandy, and he's going to miss that now because he's having some sort of an issue. They're still hoping to make the Travers, but when we're at this point and you're getting these questions, it makes me, you know, a little less bullish on Gronkowski.
Very difficult to keep. Very difficult to keep Gronkowski on the field. It's very very difficult. He's always been kind of in and out.
Yeah.
And then a couple of the older horses that I think you have to throw in the mix as far as bona fide contenders for the Classic. Are Accelerate, who's won this year's Santa Anita Handicap and Gold Cup at Santa Anita, mm-hmm. both races at a mile and a quarter, and that's important. He's proven to be a very good mile and a quarter horse, which was a question early in his career, and John Sadler's done a terrific job with him. Mm-hmm. And Pavel, who I've been high on ever since what he was doing with such a light resume last year as a three-year-old, but he really was disappointing the first half of this year until his big race in the Stephen Foster, mm-hmm. that could be the real turnaround, and he's headed to the Whitney at Saratoga. So Pavel is another, I think, contender for the Classic.
Let's go to two-year-olds. And I know you want to talk about one, and I'm going to ask you about her in just a minute, and I'm going to throw you a curveball. But our friend, and sticking with the Baffert theme, our friend Gary Young, a private clocker and bloodstock agent, we've had him on the show here on Inside Churchill Downs many times in the past, and he alerted our listeners about American Pharoah in advance of his Triple Crown run. He basically Babe Ruthed it and pointed and called the shot with Justify. A few weeks on our show before the Kentucky Derby, he sent me a text the other day about Baffert's new toy, and he says there's a colt by the name of Roadster. Are you familiar with Roadster, and have you chatted with Bob Baffert about this colt just yet?
Well, actually, I have. When I was out to see Justify, I said, Bob, you got any two-year-olds you like? And he said, yeah, I've got one called Roadster. I said, who's he by? He said, Quality Road. So, and that was basically the extent of our conversation on that. But he's a Quality Road out of a Silver Ghost mare who's been working steadily at Santa Anita, working well. And as much as I got that from Baffert, that certainly takes it to a higher level when someone that I have such respect for as Gary Young,
yep,
texted you and said that, and is talking up Roadster. So
might be the earliest Baffert tout I've ever had on July the 5th is the text message.
Save
the
that
new
text.
Roadster is Baffert's new toy. So
the other two-year-old that we've been excited about already here in Southern California is in the Jerry Hollendorfer barn, and he won impressively at Los Alamitos in late June.
Yeah, repeat his name.
Instagrand,
yes, big winner.
All one word. He's a $1.2 million auction purchase by Into Mischief out of a lawyer Ron Mayer. He won by 10, going 5 furlongs as a 2-to-5 shot, and got an 88 buyer, which a lot of people would say, well, that's not very good. Actually, at this time of the year for a 2-year-old, that is an excellent buyer speed figure.
You get anything in the 70s this time of year, that's an excellent figure.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know you were impressed with a 2-year-old that raced at Churchill Downs and raced at Churchill Downs on closing day. And I know we were, I'm speaking of Restless Rider, the filly for Kenny McPeak, the winner of the debutante. What a strange race after checking, you know, abruptly on that turn and then kicking back in. Your thoughts on Restless Rider?
Well, I can only say that I was extremely impressed. In fact, so much so that each year for more than a decade, I ranked the top 10 performances by a thoroughbred in the United States at the end of the year for the entire year, but I also do it for the first half of the year.
Yep.
And I started off with her victory at number 10, and the more I kept going through it, I ended up putting her at number 6. And the only performances I ranked better than hers, at number 1, I have Justifies Kentucky Derby.
Yep.
Number 2, Justifies Belmont.
Yep.
Number 3, Justifies Preakness.
Yep.
Number 4, Gunrunner's Pegasus.
Yep.
And number 5, Justifies Santa Anita Derby.
That's pretty good company.
That's how high. And, I mean, you just don't see a 2-year-old filly in a 6-furlong race get stopped like she did,
mm-hmm,
and then win by 11.25 lengths, which, again, not only was the margin big, but from a historical standpoint, this was the 118th running of the debutante. It was run for the first time in 1895, and this broke the record for the biggest margin of victory in the history of the race. So,
and won it, you know, in 110.3.
Which was
checked abruptly, 110.3.
Well, and was considerably faster than the Steve Aspison colt that won the Bashford Manor on the same card.
Yeah, 2 seconds faster.
So, and Ken McPeak, I was very pleased. He was on Steve Bick's radio show this week and said that he thought she was like freak material and that he hasn't been as excited about a 2-year-old filly this much since Take Charge Lady, who I was a huge Take Charge Lady fan. And this filly, Restless Rider, he said, is headed to the Spinaway at Saratoga, and then the Alcibiades at Keeneland, and then the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies right there where you are at Churchill.
Wow. Well, she's very excited.
Yeah, that's, you know, saying something for Kenny, because when he won this race, I believe it was last year with
Sunny Skies, yeah.
And he was talking about, well, we're going to take it easy with this horse and really take the summer off. When he's precocious like this with the 2-year-old, you better keep an eye on this one, Restless Rider.
And we've said it a number of times, I can't tell you enough, but Brian Hernandez Jr. in the saddle. Brian Hernandez is the next great star among the jockey colony. I just think he's one of the nation's most underrated riders, John. I'm just telling you, he's that good.
Well, and I was reading the stakes quotes from that race. Ben Colebrooke, who trained at Beach Getaway, who finished third,
mm-hmm,
he not only said nobody was beating that winner, but he said that was probably the most impressive 2-year performance of the year, if not the last couple. That was freakish. And, I mean, it really,
yep,
was. So that's why the more I kind of sank my teeth into this one, I ended up having to keep moving her, you know, higher and higher on the list to where she ended up at a very respectable number 6, just below 4 Justify Victories and Gunrunner.
Now, John, before we let you go, do you have a pen and paper? I'll let you remember this. This is easy to remember. Okay, we had last week when I was not on the show, Ben Colebrook, the trainer of Limousine Liberal. We had him on the show a few years ago. He's Limousine Liberal is the first horse in the Inside Churchill Downs Hall of Fame. Ben Colebrook comes on and touts the horse in, you know, in advance of his first career race, wins first time out at, what was he, 4.5 to 1, something like that.
Exactly, 4.5 to 1.
It was nice, and you've seen what he's turned out to be. Last week, Ben touted a horse by the name of Heels, H-E-E-L-S, Heels, who happens to be entered, making her career debut in Sunday's 8th race at Ellis Park. She's number 8 at 4-1 on the morning line. So we've got a 2-year-old first-time starting filly, daughter of Flatter out of the Empire Maker mare, Amazing Shoes for Claiborne Farm. Ben Colebrook high on Heels. So jot that down. Take note for your, that might be able to recoup the ticket cost for tonight's Rolling Stones Beetle Fest and the dinner, whatever you're going to be doing with the wife this evening. Well, yeah, pad the bankroll. Well,
I literally wrote that down. It's right here. So I took your advice literally. In fact, my wife handed me the pen.
Yes, and John, I can tell you, time and time again, our slogan on the show, it pays to listen to Inside Churchill Downs. So anyway, we appreciate you taking the moment to join us for a visit and put proper perspective on Justify and his accomplishments and a look ahead to the second half of the year. We appreciate it, and happy birthday to Tracy, and we'll see you down the road, pal.
Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoyed it.
All right. That's John White, veteran racing analyst and noted historian. I mean, John really dives into it. And that's why I love getting him on to, you know, really respect his opinion.
He was giving us running lines for Apollo, I believe, when we were last talking to him. That is
the last time we did talk to him. Yeah. Yes, he did give us a running line for Apollo.
Right. It's like, I forgot about that.
Yes, I know. I didn't.
The Keeneland Library can maybe do that.
Keeneland Library. But anyway, want to thank trainer Dallas Stewart for visit. He, of course, has a couple of horses entered in the big night at Indiana Grand. First of 10 races tomorrow, Saturday night at Indiana Grand, 5:30. You want to get the day started. I know KK will at Ellis Park. They have 9 races starting at 1:50. In addition to those simulcast races at Indiana Grand, you've got the Kent and the Delaware Handicap at Delaware Park. We get to see the comeback of a late. We remember we had Bill Mott on the show looking for a second half of the year campaign for this promising filly, and she'll be tackling Unbridled Mo, Feral, and Mopetism in the Delaware Handicap. And then the Los Al Derby, Axeman, right off his flop in the Matt Wynn, coming back. He's a 6-5 favorite against Blended Citizen in the Los Alamitos Derby. So a lot of action tomorrow. And remember, Del Mar opens on Wednesday and then Saratoga a week from today. So I could imagine we will be previewing Saratoga and Del Mar and a lot of good action next weekend. Anxiously awaiting John Asher's return.
Pad your bankroll this weekend, twinspires.com for the best racing. And we open simulcast tomorrow at noon.
Thanks to Magic Mike. For Kevin Kirstein, I'm Darren Rogers. Thanks for listening to Inside Churchill Downs on ESPN 680 105.7.